Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, you're listening to the Anderson Advisors Podcast, and I have a guest today, Eric Donovan. Or how do you say it? Donovan.
Donovan.
Donovan. All right. Or Donovan. Actually, from the Big Easy down there in the realm of New Orleans, dodging hurricanes.
Dodging hurricanes.
Professional hurricane dodger. So today we have actually, on a serious note, this is actually a really important topic. So this is something that everybody needs to listen to, period, hands down, because he's talking about something that actually I've seen in my personal life. I've seen it with clients all over the place. And I'm going to let Eric set the table on it and explain what he does and why this is so critical for people.
Toby, thank you for having me on. It's really an honor to be here. What we do, what Paradigm does, is we empower families and businesses to, what we say is, live a better story by being more intentional. And so when we look at what Anderson really helps people do and talk about that, I mean, the idea is a lot of people are living a really, really good story. And I would say that when I look at what Anderson's been able to help families do, you're getting closer to a better story because the tax savings and the intentionality and everything that's happening inside of that work is incredibly powerful. Where we come in and what we believe is that you can get really, really good return on investment. And that's important. Mm-hmm. Making sure you get great return on investment is important. What we have found is if all you focus on is return on investment, you can end up with the wrong ROI. What I mean is return on intention. Mm-hmm. And what we find too many families do is they focus so much on the return on investment that they miss the return on intention inside of their families.
All right. You just threw a huge concept out, and this is why it's so critical. So if anybody's ever listened to me, if you guys have gone through the nonprofit class, the Start, Fund, Grow, listen to Infinity, you know that we talk a lot about mission, vision, values. You know that we harp on that here at our firm, and we've been at Best Places to Work twice. We've been on the Inc. list, I think, 5 times. Like, we know what we're doing on this. If you do not have your values aligned, you are toast. And in this is so critical. I think this goes hand in hand, and I'm going to ask you to dig a little deeper on it, Eric. But if your focus is on making money, you're going to face plant.
Right.
You really are, because once you hit it, most people go, well, now what do I do? And it's like that Talladega Nights movie where the dad is sitting with the guys in Applebee's and he starts drinking and throwing a fit. And he says things were just a little too perfect. So let's go get thrown at Applebee's. If you don't have a real direction, something bigger than the dollars, you end up making messes. And I think that's what you're talking about, Eric.
Oh, it is. And the one thing, it is so easy. I think as business owners, it's really, really easy to say, I know what my mission, vision, and values are for my business. And I know how to live those out. And I know how to do that. And I love Peter Drucker's statement, culture eats strategy for breakfast. But do we take that same mindset and bring it home?
Oh boy. Yep. Amen.
Do we take the same mindset and say, how do I do this where I live and with my own family? And what I find, unfortunately, is way too many families spend time focused on it inside of the business, but they neglect to do it personally.
Tell me about that specifically. Like, what do you see, and especially in our society? Because I know what I see. I want to see what do you see?
Well, so what we see most of the time is that business owners and families are on a trajectory building wealth, and the rest of the world is telling them, hey, just pile it up and pile it up with no real purpose, with no real end game. So there's no finish line. So there's the stress and the anxiety that goes along with that. But the unintended consequences we start talking about, and here's the interesting thing about unintended consequences are, is I think they start out really, really small, right? So maybe I just don't have good communication with my kids. But over time, what that could lead to is, I don't communicate well with my kids. They then don't know how to communicate really well with their partner. And you get a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you end up with divorce. You end up with miscommunication. And this sometimes can sound extreme, but does miscommunication go all the way to leading to addiction? All of these small little things that we go, oh, that's no big deal. And what I find too often happens inside of families, and this get into a little bit of my own story and how I got into this, because this happened inside of my own family. You get so focused on building the wealth or accumulating it with no purpose and with no end game in mind. And let's say you hit a point where you're like, I finally have enough, or, you know, you reach an exit, or you hit a finish line where you go, I'm bringing in enough income, I'm super happy. But if you've neglected all the relationships around you, as the saying goes, you find out you've been climbing a ladder leaning against the wrong wall, and you've got a whole mess to clean up with. And one of the things I like to say, I think you said this a little bit differently before we came on the show, but I like to say money doesn't cause problems. Money's not the issue. Money has the ability to magnify and expose all of the areas that we've been neglecting and ignoring inside of our family and our life if we don't pay attention to it.
Money makes you more of what you already are. And if you're a workaholic, it's going to make you that much worse. If you're an addict, it's going to make you that much worse. If you're narcissistic, it's going to make you that much worse. If you're a good giver and you're a good person, it's going to make you that much better.
Absolutely.
But you got to be deliberate about it. We get taught that money's the, you know, hey, we got to make money. You got to make money. And you start focusing on money and it usurps everything else. So
that's right.
Kid's birthday, right? You see people actually miss their, like skip family items for the dough, for the money.
Well, that, or they're on their phone the whole time because they're answering emails or responding. I mean, they're not even present when they're in the room, but they're not present. You know, this happened in my own life. My father was a veterinarian in West Texas and was running a business, and no one told him any differently. I mean, he's just running the business and doing what he was doing. And my seventh grade year, my mom falls and breaks her arm. And then we ended up burying my mother within the next year because she got a staph infection, fought a lot of surgeries and things like that.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, it was tough, but it really kind of ended up teaching me some things because my dad was pursuing the growth of the business and doing what everybody was telling him to do, and workaholic, not home, not focused on his own health. So when my mom passes away and this crisis comes in, 3 to 4 years later, he ends up filing bankruptcy because he had been borrowing a lot of money to grow and expand his business, like happens. He didn't pay attention to the insurance he should be holding on to. And what we really found was his whole focus on business fragmented our relationship, the relationship with my sister, and everything just starts falling apart because what the world was telling him was just go build the business, just go do this. And no expectation of a crisis coming, no expectation of that coming in. And if the only focus is money.
Yeah, you're just looking at the accumulation. You're not even looking at, hey, like this is the one we see all the time, is that you never think you're going to die. Right. And then when something happens and you pass, you leave a big mess because you never prepared for it, or you get disabled, or you get older and you're not able to care for yourself, and you never prepare for it because heck, we're humans and we're so excited about the making money part that we forget about everything else that's going on.
That's right.
It's actually more important. Wow. First off, so you lived this.
I lived this.
Is your dad still with us or did he pass?
No, my dad is still with us.
Did he learn from that or did he change things or is it, you know, where is he at now?
Well, so he's retired now, still doing a little bit of veterinary work. I like to say he learned a little bit of it. It was such a transformational moment for me that it actually became, it's the whole reason that I'm so passionate about what I'm doing today, but it actually took me almost going down the exact same path that he was headed down to realize that I was about to make the exact same mistake.
Kids learn whether you're telling them or not. They learn by watching.
Yeah.
So if you're not a really nice person, it's a good chance your kids are watching and picking up those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What does Dad think about what you're doing?
No, he loves it because he definitely understands and he's seen the transformation in my own family. And, you know, I've had my own, like I said, I almost blew it up myself because I had inherited all the workaholic, all the passion about just being at the office all the time and thinking that the answer was just accumulation, until I came to this. I had actually someone sit me down one day and said, hey, I just want to know why you hate your family.
They actually said that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, I got a question that's been bugging me, but like, why do you hate your wife? I'm just curious. Your kid.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, look, you're never home. You're working all the time. I see the business you're building and everything, but I just, you know, my best guess is you must just hate your family. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so this gentleman actually kind of mentored me through a process. He's like, why don't you go back and just, why don't you turn things upside down? The accumulation is going to come. you are smart enough, you're a good enough business guy, and you're focused on things. But what if you focused on, again, return on intention with your family? What if you focused on your wife and your relationship with your wife? What if you focused on your relationship with your kids? What if you guys sat down and found a common purpose together and then see what happens to your business? And what he actually told me to do, which was an interesting thing, he's like, I want you to forget about your business for 6 months. He's like, I want you to go into the office, but I want you to flip your priorities. So don't go into the office until you've spent time with your wife and kids. Don't go into the office until you've done some exercise and focused on your body and things like that. And I started doing that, and it completely changed even the trajectory of my business. I was more focused. I was more dialed in. I was more like on fire for everything that I was doing. And then what really got to be exciting was I saw the transformation in myself was then, okay, we know other families who are on the same trajectory. If they keep doing what they're doing, if they keep just focusing on a life of accumulation without a real purpose, without focus on the return on intention, they're going to end up like my dad or like me, or, you know, and what are the unintended consequences that are going to result out of that? And that really is what led me into the passion of what Paradigm does today. And at the end of the day, what we like to say, we just want to help people live a better story, because so many people are caught up in what the rest of the world says, which is, you know, how are you doing? Well, I'm good. You know, good. Good enough is good enough. No, what if you could live a better life?
That's pretty cool. So your company's Paradigm.
Yep.
Why don't you explain what that means? Because that's a pretty cool word.
Paradigm means beyond the day. So we want people to think beyond where they are today and not just accumulation. And then the way that we talk about helping families focus on this is there's four categories. It's greatness, growth, governance, and generosity. So greatness is, why does your story matter? And really sitting down and looking at all the people who are impacted by the story that you're telling and the story that you're going to create. I think so many times, at least in myself, in, you know, accumulation and building wealth, the purpose may be there for the business, but we don't think about why the people around us matter and what the effect is going to be on them. So really taking a step back and understanding why that story matters, and what's the movie going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, if we continue on the trajectory that we're on? The growth has to do with what is the ROI of your story, and it's return on intention. Mm-hmm. So you may be getting great return on investment, but are you taking a look at how that story is going to end up and what you really are intending to have happen? And then my favorite part sits inside of governance, because that is who tells your story. And that's where getting down to, what is your values? What's your vision? How do you give a voice to everyone in the family? And then how do you create a great venture that you all can be about? And that's the governance, I think, is really what begins to make a difference for return on intention. You can talk about all the four categories, but it's inside of governance where a family is already doing really good things, like with Anderson, already thinking about things that other people are not bringing them to, thinking about the right strategies to build that return on investment. What we find is that plugging in that governance component is like this accelerant that pushes even more possibility that most families haven't seen.
Then that's bringing the kids into it, right? That's actually bringing the full family. So this is where mom or dad may be the workaholic. Mom or dad may be the, I'm the master. I'm the one who's making it happen. But you're on an island, and if you get unplugged from it, everybody else fails.
So let's talk a little, if it's okay, let's talk a little bit about the governance side, because so values, we began talking about this, right? Which is the values idea. It's really easy to know what your values and mission and vision are all inside of a business, but how do we do this inside of a family? How do we sit down and talk about our purpose as a family? Mom and dad have a direction that they want to go. But if we can bring the kids in, and as the kids get older, I would tell you, even
bringing in the kids. How do you teach the values? That's the question. How do you decide what your values are? Is that where you start, or do you start someplace else?
We actually start by just bringing the family together just around the conversation of what the family wants to be known for and getting feedback from everyone. The other thing that actually begins that process before we get deeply into values is we've got a member of our team who is our family transformation specialist who calls each person in the family to try and find the elephants in the room. What are the things we're not talking about? What are the things that we're avoiding? Because if you can't get those things out in the open and you can't at least have a discussion about them, then they always stay there. What you find is going into those hard conversations releases some tension and then allows a lot of families to begin to move forward.
I could see
from there, beginning the conversation of what do we want to be known for lays out a path to have further conversations. And we've got a specific process that we take families through to help build in the values and discover what those values are. But the other thing that we're looking for when we're helping, and it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it could take 2 to 3 months to really kind of get solidified in on what the values are of the family. But the real key in that process is that everyone buys in and knows what they mean to them personally.
And I'm just going to make a quick plug here, because if somebody's listening and going, okay, this sounds amorphous, right? It's, oh, it's just, no, I just want to make money. If you don't have your values aligned, and this goes with in business, it's real easy because your employees will quit, or they'll decide to try to make your company into something you don't envision it being, and, right. and they'll fight, and they'll have little in groups, and you'll have cliques, and there'll be friction. Your customers, there'll be friction. We're seeing it nowadays. Our values are very different in two of the major political parties, and there's a ton of friction.
That's right.
And that's what happens when your values aren't aligned. And if you could choose, you try to say, well, what values do we agree on? And you use those to become more inclusive. You know, politics is probably never going to happen. Like every now and again, somebody's a unifier. But in a family, you don't really have a choice.
That's right.
If your values are different, you're going to have that friction there constantly. You got to figure out what you guys agree on. And it sounds like that's a lot of what you're doing.
It is a lot of what we're doing. The other thing is, you will run into families who'll be like, oh, well, we've got good values. And it's this ambiguous idea that's kind of out there, as opposed to actually memorializing them or putting them on paper. And so people on this who are listening in are going to have all sorts of different faiths, but it would be interesting. Go back and look what the original intention of Harvard University was. And it was written down. I'm just going to go look it up and how far they are from that original written value. So you go, I don't need to write them down. If you look at Harvard, who had a written value that is so far away from what that is today.
They didn't reinforce it though.
No, they didn't.
Right. The value, I always say the value is what you aspire to be, and the mission is how you walk it.
Yeah.
And the vision is where you're walking. So, you know, Jesus was the ultimate visionary, and his disciples were the missionaries going out there and teaching, this is where we're going. And the values are these things that we all hold. It's the walk. It's walking the talk. This is what I'm talking about. And so it sounds like Harvard, I'm just going to guess, because I don't know what their values are, is that they walked in a different direction because they had a different visionary.
It did. Yeah.
Yep. It only takes one.
But if you don't even have it written, how much faster does your family get off track if you don't even have it written down, if you don't even have it memorialized? That's kind of the point that we have come to.
It's a rudderless ship.
It is.
I get to teach this section. This is why it's interesting to me, because I teach this all the time. There's different ways you look at it, but at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's your rudderless ship if you don't have your values nailed down in my world.
Yep.
And your values drive your mission, which drives your vision. And it doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same principle, is you got to figure out what you're striving for. It sounds like you say, what do we want to be known for? That's what you're striving for as a family.
It is.
And then you're looking and saying, these are the things that, this is how we implement it.
It is, in a way that we can memorialize it. And then our use of vision is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I think your use is absolutely perfect. But what we're specifically speaking to is we're trying to raise up the next generation. We're trying to empower the next generation. So what we found to be true, and I don't know how it is for different people listening, I'm just going to tell you how it is for me and everybody that I've ever worked with. Everyone I've ever met is carrying around self-doubt. Doesn't know what to think about themselves. And when we're talking about vision, what we're trying to do is help mom and dad put the greatness and the vision that they see into their children through written letters, through communication, and through interaction. So it's one thing to look at your child and say, hey, I think all this really, really good stuff for you that never gets out of your mouth and onto paper.
It's affirmations from somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we're casting vision, it's about the affirmation over the family and actually speaking that. And when we get further down the road, what actually gets to be cool is then the kids start affirming mom and dad back. And so relationally, you end up in a place that is, even in the hardest times, becomes healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can start with a broken family and one that it's, you've got so many elephants, it's hard to get everyone in the room, but you start to establish values of, we may be this far apart, but at least we can agree on these things. And then you start to speak vision or affirmation into that. And it's amazing what kind of healing starts to happen inside of a family.
It's interesting. The last G that we didn't hit on was generosity.
Generosity.
Right? How does that play into this? Because it sounds like you got to have the first three.
You do.
Or do you?
No, you really do. So greatness, growth, governance. Let me finish up governance just real quick. So giving them a voice, because if you speak affirmation, you give them values, now giving them permission to speak in. And all that we're looking at a voice is voice, not a vote. I just want to hear what you have to say. I want to listen and hear you. And then the last piece is venture, which is going to tie into great. It's going to tie into the generosity. Is there something that the family can come together around that becomes a greater purpose that is outside themselves? Mm-hmm. What we find when we get into the generosity component is when you begin to have intentional conversations around what you're doing, almost every single family that we've ever worked with has discovered that they have the capacity to give 3 to 10 times more money away than anyone's ever told them before, continue to reduce their taxes without changing anything about their lifestyle. And when you're increasing generosity around a great venture, now you have the family coming around and together for a greater purpose that's not about them. And when you're looking outside yourself, you actually begin to discover new things about yourself and about your family, because it's not about us piling it up anymore. It's about us coming together as a collective and making a difference in the world around us.
And you feel proud.
Absolutely.
You're allowed to feel proud. Making money, you're not allowed to feel proud about making a lot of money. You might feel good about it, but if you tell somebody, man, I am wealthy right now, like they're going to look at you and they're going to hate you a little bit, right? Usually people look at you and say, that's kind of conceited.
Yeah.
But if you say, we're able to help so many families out, we were able to do X, Y, Z, we love giving our time back here, then people are like, well, okay, pretty cool.
Other thing that I think you begin to have a different appreciation for money when you engage in generosity. Because when you're holding on really, really tight with a closed fist, nothing gets in, nothing gets out. When you open up your hand, you start to see the world from a different perspective. One of the experiences we had with our own family around our own generosity was taking our family to Mexico for 3 days to build a house and sleeping on the ground and taking a bucket shower and just being exposed to the poverty. What we often don't realize, and most people don't know, is if you make more than $30,000 a year, you're wealthier than 99% of the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
When we live in the US, there's so much abundance around us. Oftentimes we don't see the real blessings in what we have. So when you can get exposed to poverty, or you can get exposed to other areas and then engage it through generosity, what you begin to appreciate is even more what it is you're blessed with. You feel more responsibility. But the other thing I find is you find more connection inside of the family, and that's where you end up getting the return on intention.
Yeah. Where did you go build a house? Where was it?
It was outside of Tijuana.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We went until this year would have been 8 years in a row, but COVID had something to say about that. But the crazy thing is, and I would just encourage families to find something like this. The word that we use in our house is it helps disrupt our thinking. You know, maybe I get discontent. Maybe I wish I had a nicer car. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And you go down and get exposed to that kind of poverty. It's like, wait a minute, I have so much and I can appreciate so much of what I had. It was interesting. My oldest son looked at me a year and a half ago and he could feel his own discontent. And he looked at me and said, Dad, I just need to go to Mexico for a few days. And so I find that to be true for me. Sometimes I get so caught up in thinking I'm more important than I am, and I just need a little bit of disruption in my life. And generosity is a way to create disruption.
You need to go someplace where you realize, I have to be careful about this, because sometimes I say you go and you realize how lucky we are. Sometimes it's hard to feel fortunate when you're sitting here and you're always looking at the Joneses and they have the new cars and they have the bigger house and all that jazz. And so you start feeling bad. Until you go someplace where, you know, again, in many countries, I was just down in Puerto Rico, and right next door is Dominican Republic, where the Haitians live in a lot of the landfills, because that's where they bring the food.
Right.
You know, it's leftover food. We call it garbage, but that's, you know, that's where they bring the food. So that's where they're living. Until you see it, it's hard to really conceptualize it. And then you realize, wait a second, people actually have to live like this. Yeah, we are very, 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 very lucky.
Yeah.
Really, like you won the lottery. If you got born into this country or you managed to come here, you won the lottery. 99% of the world's problems just left you.
That's right.
And we're griping about how we're living here. Yeah, we can always do better, but I think we have to be realistic. And that sounds like a pretty interesting way to do it.
Here's what we found to be true. If you focus on return on intention, all of a sudden return on investment gets a lot clearer and a lot easier. Because you understand the purpose of why what you're doing. But not only that, especially if you're talking about multiple generational wealth, if you're going to pass this down 2-3 generations, however that's going to go, the rest of the family needs to understand the purpose. Otherwise, they're simply looking at the money as a solution to a lifestyle issue or something else without any purpose. And what you know from the statistics is when you lose the purpose around the return on investment, the wealth disappears.
Yeah.
It goes away. The statistics are there to show it.
Eric, it's interesting because there's something that I heard and it's, and I didn't come up with it, but I always think of this and I share it with others, is if you were given money for your child or your grandchild or for somebody else's child, if you don't have children, like somebody gave you the money for a baby, said, here's $1,000, Eric, this is for your son, or this is for your new child. You treat that $1,000 differently than if you went and won $1,000 at a casino. Or you found $1,000, you just, for whatever reason, you have an intention with that money.
Absolutely.
And you treat that with a different reverence. It's weird. You don't feel like taking it. I'll tell you that much. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that money is pressure and they're not prepared for it when it does come. And we see this all the time. And I have a very good, he ended up becoming a friend, but it was pretty funny. He ended up having a business where he's very successful and his whole deal was to make $1 million a year. When he hit $1 million a year, that's when he started adultering and smoking coke. Like he starts doing coke and smoking weed and like destroying his life. And he was like, cause I didn't know what else to do.
Right.
It's kind of funny when you hear that now he ended up becoming one of the best people, complete giver, completely giving his life to helping other people. He was so relaxed by the time I met him, he was older, but he was like, yeah, I made so much money. And then I was like, all right, now what? Well, I'm going to do all the things I didn't do.
Well, and that's what when you look and talk to the people who are only focused on building wealth, who don't have this kind of rant, it's like, so what do the people do when they hit their target, when they hit their goal? Because there was never a purpose. It was simply for the purpose of accumulation. And that's when we talk about let's match up return on investment with return on intention. Because if you don't have an intention, when you get to the finish line, you end up smoking crack and having an affair. And, you know, because you hit the finish line, it's like, what was it for?
You need to have a long-term objective. So I like the 300 years. Pick 300 years. That's your long-term objective. You put it in place. If we stick it to 20 or 30 years, it's just not long enough, guys. You'll end up finding a way to sabotage yourself. I'm going to ask you two more questions. I'm going to ask you the question I usually ask at the end first, which is if somebody's, this is what you do for a living, I take it.
It is.
You work with families. Yep. And if somebody, and usually people come on and they give away something. So what are we giving away today?
Yeah. So we have a free family impact kit that is available to anyone who wants to send me an email at eric@paradiem.org, paradiem.org. Send me an email. We'll give you the family impact kit. What it is, it's basically about a half a day worth of exercises that sit inside of greatness, why your story matters, growth, what's your ROI, greatness, or your governance, and then generosity. And it's just different activities that will give your family a chance to come together and have meaningful conversations around things that matter.
That's really cool. So that's a freebie. Yay.
That's a freebie. Yeah. Just come get
it. So Eric, and we'll share that link out with people. So yeah. Do it, guys. This is like, if there's one thing that I have learned watching other people in my own life too, is if like we get so laser focused on doing one thing that our head could be on fire and we're still going to work. You know, it's like, I'll put it out later. Yep. No, it's like your family could be on fire and you don't even realize it. So to take a quick check. The other one is, are there any cases? Has there ever been a family that you've worked with that sticks out as being like the biggest transformation? And I know I put you on the spot. I didn't ask.
Now you're getting into one of my favorite stories.
Perfect.
So there was a family up from the Midwest that we started work with about 3 years ago. And we met this gentleman because he was getting ready for an exit. So a lot of times we'll come in and work with families beginning an exit because I'm just going to add this real quick. What most people don't realize is it's one thing to be worth a certain amount of money on paper. You can't take that to the grocery store. But as we said, money magnifies, right? So the minute that you bring money into the equation, it changes all the relationships. So we like to talk to people before they're going to sell a business so that we can get them ready for the relational changes that are coming. So we met this gentleman about 6 to 8 months before he was going to sell the business. And he was telling the story of the family and there'd been some divorce in the family. He goes, look, I just need you guys to know, I have not been in the same room with my three kids in over 10 years. So you keep talking about all this governance stuff and all this. He goes, it's going to be a miracle if we can get everybody in the same room. It's been 10 years. Okay. So we started working on it and started having some conversations. And we were about 6 months into the process and pulled together a full family meeting with him, and his three kids all in the same room. And it started, what it was really kind of funny, because one of the things that we do, we keep a stuffed elephant. It's like, we got to have the elephant in the room. So let's bring the elephant into the room, you know, to talk about that. And one of the things I like to tell about that story is that's continuing to evolve. The relationships mm-hmm. are getting healthier. It's still not completely healed. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but to take a father and put him in the same room with his children for the first time in over 10 years and begin the healing process and begin the conversations around mm-hmm. their own values and the vision, and even giving them permission to have a voice, has been super exciting. And we're not done. You ask me again in about 3 years, we'll probably have another version of how that story has continued, but that's my favorite.
That is pretty cool. And that is, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Right? No, there's got to be a little bit of the magic. And I could just imagine how sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable when people are pointing out the elephants.
Well, and the one thing that we like to say is the only way to get to the other side of recovery and reconciliation is through the pain. Mm-hmm. So the biggest problem is most people don't want to go into the pain. They just want to ignore the pain. That doesn't get you. You've got to be able to say your piece and express what mm-hmm. you're feeling and feel heard and create safe places for that to happen. And if you're not willing to go through the pain, you won't get to the other side of the pleasure.
Yep. Well, hey, I love it. You need a good guide doing this. And I would encourage anybody, this is not a typical podcast. This is, I would encourage anybody who is even thinking that they don't have that sort of structure in their life, that you should take advantage of at least the free offering and talk to Eric and his group. Now, I haven't done anything with you, but I haven't gone through the process. So I can't tell somebody this is the greatest process ever. I can just say that going through a process, there's 20 ways around the mountain. At the end of the day, you just need to get to the other side. And this just sounds like a really good path. And we tend to think alike. I like it. So I would love to see you be able to help some people. And if you're out there and you're listening, by all means, take advantage of it. Eric, is there anything else that you want to add? Here's a good one, because if you don't have something off the top of your head, which I'll ask you, do you have anything off the top of your head?
No, so go ahead and ask.
Oh, yeah. If you go back to your 16-year-old self, what would you say now?
I'd say it's going to be okay. That's yeah,
you were going through some tough stuff.
It was a tough spot at 16. My answer would be, it's going to be okay.
Mom is past it.
And I would say that to families too. You want me to kind of extrapolate off of that. Mm-hmm. What I would tell you is, for families who are hurting, for families that are in a dark place, one of the things that I know about Paradigm, we're really, really good. If you were going to put families on a scale of green, yellow, and red, like how healthy is your family? Mm-hmm. We work with families that are yellow and green. But families that are even in the red, there's help available. We've got resources. If you're listening to this, you're like, hey, we've got so many issues going on. I still would encourage you to reach out to us, because we can put you in touch with other resources. We can put you in touch with other people. Mm-hmm. And what I know is that what you're willing to work on has the ability to be fixed. There's not anything that's completely out of reach if you're willing to do the work and willing to go into kind of the pain and the darkness of it, because the reward of what's sitting on the other side is so beautiful. And if you're really talking about being intentional and transforming your family and transforming generations, then it's definitely worth it, no matter how painful it is.
Absolutely. Well, I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Eric, for coming on. Again, we'll share out your email, but by all means, guys, reach out. And I just want to say thanks again, Eric.
All right. Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.